Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Audrey, it's always fun hanging out on a Wednesday night, kicking off another Tech Vibe Radio. And the other day, I was just thinking about our board list at the Pittsburgh Technology Council. I was putting it together for the TEQ magazine. I'm looking at all these new names that we've added to our board. And I think it's kind of fun because I'm feeling like our board is really shaping up to really reflect kind of what's going on in Pittsburgh's tech sector.
Well, listen, we've been around for 37 years. And, you know, over those 37 years, I mean, I wasn't here for most of that. You were here for half of that.
Oh, my God, you're right. It's almost half.
You were here.
No, it's more than half.
You're more than half of it.
God.
So you've
okay.
seen some of the changes. But
yes.
we do reflect what's happening in our community in terms of tech and innovation. But we're just, as people start finding new things to do and, you know, issues that they want to be a part of, we've been lucky enough to engage sort of a new iteration of leadership.
I know.
And that's sort of what matters in our region.
Exactly what matters, right?
What's the leadership? Who do they represent? What kind of work are they doing? So we've had many of these people actually on our show. Recently, we had David Passavant, who runs NUMO, N-U-M-O. And he is leading the spin out of PNC.
Such a cool company, too. I love the fact that PNC is spinning off this other company in order to kind of bake fintech companies.
Right. And he has joined our group on the board. So that's been great. I mean, they're not located in PNC. They're located over in Bakery Square.
They have a team there.
They
got some good space over there, too.
Really nice space. We have had participation from PwC, and Dion Groswick is now with us on our executive committee.
Yeah.
She also runs our audit, but she has been involved in services and tech for a long time.
She knows the ecosystem quite
well.
Yeah,
she really does.
And that's part of what it is. It's not just tech people that are on the board, but also people that are from the professional services industry.
Because, right, but we also have entrepreneurs like
Courtney Williamson
from A Bill of Life.
She's one of my favorite people. I'm just going to be transparent about that because she's just
Do you have
cool.
a major work girl crush on her?
I could be at this point in my life.
Okay,
I
Courtney, if you're listening right now, you know that Jonathan's got a thing for you.
If all else fails, you know, I'm here. But she's just awesome because she was inspired to start something because of her mother who suffered from Parkinson's, and she developed this Calibrase that helps people with their posture.
And helps them stop the tremoring when they start.
And it keeps them balanced so they don't fall over. Because I didn't realize this, that when you have that disease, that you lose your balance and you fall, and then you can die from injuries from falling. And so the brace keeps you balanced. But she's built this company by herself.
I know.
And she has been scaling it. And so adding her to the board, I thought, was just pretty dang cool.
Yeah. She brings a great perspective of someone who's just started from creating an idea.
Exactly.
From
exactly.
nothing and now taking it, you know, to insurance companies and selling it.
Exactly.
And giving people what they need. So,
but on the other side of that.
On the other side.
It's like Chuck Hoover from Facebook.
Chuck Hoover from Facebook, who, by the way, had spent at least 15 years at Shell Games.
He was 15 years.
So he was at Shell Games for 15 years right from the onset. Great relationship that he's continued to have with Shell Games. And now he is running Facebook in Pittsburgh.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
That must have been really tough for him to, like, give up his Facebook. I mean, I'm sorry, give up his Shell Games gig to go to Facebook.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we had him for a breakfast briefing a few months ago, and he had a chance to sort of let us peel the curtains just a little bit back in terms of what they were doing and thinking about in Facebook. And it gave me a better perspective of why that would jazz him. So in terms of just the research and also thinking about 10 years from now.
Right.
Which seems like a lifetime away, but it really isn't.
Much
so
fast.
He brings a lot of energy and a lot of really good perspective. And, you know, then, of course, we have representation from Duolingo, from Google. And we have SDLC, who's built up, you know, quite a practice of about 500 people.
Just 500 people.
So you have all these people who are sort of at the table and giving us perspective on things that, you know, we may just lose sight of, right? In the course of our day to day.
Yeah, we get stuck in the middle of our little battles and trials and tribulations, and they kind of set some direction to show where the need is in the marketplace and help us steer our products and services accordingly. And also, of course, recognize that, you know, Jason Wolf from Wolf LLC and Gift Cards, now doing Giftia.
Right.
You know, he's our board chair, and he's just done a lot to kind of really put some new energy into the board and give us some fun direction, which I think is pretty awesome. And of course,
he also has a great life story that if you've never seen it, just go out and Google him, and you can see what his life story is and the amount that he actually has given back and pulled himself up and others.
Absolutely. And he's going to be on the show tonight as I'm grabbing an interview with him that we're plugging into the show. This is one of these shows tonight, Audrey, where it's like, you know, we're on the move. And it's kind of crazy because Tech Vibe Radio has exploded in such a good way that we get so much interest from our members and the tech community in general to stop by the show that they can't always come in when we're doing our thing. So we have them stop into the Huntington podcast studio that we have here at our headquarters. And so we grab a lot of interviews with people. And also, Audrey, I've been on the scene this past month, you know, at our big data, the Beyond Big Data Summit, grabbed some really cool interviews. And tonight we're going to bring you an interview with Gerardo Entriano from Aurora. And he's actually from Austin in Pittsburgh. He's head of government affairs there. And just,
well, he's actually head of global government affairs.
Global government affairs.
The company. And he has uprooted his family.
I know.
And brought them to Pittsburgh. And immersed himself. And
super cool guy. Yeah. I'm so glad he's in Pittsburgh because I'm like, we need a couple more Gerardos in town to make that. So we have an interview with him coming up tonight as well, too. And an interview with 321 Blink, our partners, talk about all things marketing. And, of course, as I said, we have Jason Wolf stop by as well, too.
Great show.
I think it's going to be just a ton of fun as far as that goes. And as I'm looking forward to it, I can't believe it's like the end of February. We're heading into March, which means we're actually paving our way towards our CIO of the Year Awards, which is not that far off. And so we'll soon be announcing who the finalists are for that. And at that point, Audrey, all bets are off. We'll be heading towards 38 years.
I know. April.
of the Pittsburgh.
Is April 38
Council.
Years?
No,
37.
That would be our official 37. And after that, we'll be clicking off towards 38 years, which always blows my mind. And a few weeks ago, we had Tim Parks on the show, which was a lot of fun.
That was so great.
He's such a good guy.
An honor to be able to serve after his building of the Tech Council.
So. I was going to say, well, it was kind of cool because we had you both in the studio here. You're kind of comparing notes, which I thought was kind of fun. And then we realized that you guys have pretty much the same tenure. So I think, you know, you have to go a couple more months, and then you will now have the longest tenure of a PTC president and CEO. And we want at least another 12 and a half years out of you, Audrey.
Absolutely.
To keep things kicking around here. So it's a lot of fun. That's why we love telling these stories every single I almost said Friday night, but it's Wednesday night.
I still
get the Friday out of my head sometimes.
Night.
Yeah.
It's an important night. Wednesday's a good night. So
Absolutely.
We hope you're listening. Keep your seatbelts on. Be safe.
We should hand out seatbelts to our guests.
It's a great.
That'd be kind of funny.
It'd be a great show.
Make sure your tray is in the upright position. All that kind of fun stuff. We're ready to take off here on Tech Vibe Radio. And we have some new t-shirts, which hopefully people will be seeing on the streets. All of our guests are getting t-shirts. It's kind of fun to invest in some t-shirts to give to
people. It is. And thanks for Huntington Bank.
Exactly. They make it all happen as far as that goes. Anyhow, dude, we're taking a quick break. We're coming back. We got a ton of Tech Vibe coming in front of you. As I said, I've been super busy. We've been in the studio, in the field, bringing you all the best stuff happening from Pittsburgh's tech sector. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
Learn more about the Pittsburgh Technology Council by going to pghtech.org. Follow us on Twitter at pghtech. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Thanks for spending your Wednesday night hanging out with us here on Tech Vibe Radio. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
And Audrey, as I promised for a break, I've polished up the old MFU, the mobile field unit. I hadn't used it in a while.
I know. And so who did you speak with?
Well, Gerardo Entriano
from
Aurora. Really cool guy. Transplant from Austin. Into Pittsburgh. I like when people
with his family.
With his family. You said in your neighborhood. He's living in Squirrel Hill.
He's living in Squirrel Hill.
Which is pretty cool. And my mind is blown with what Aurora is doing. And the fact that they're doing it here in Pittsburgh is pretty cool. But at the end of the day, it's like safety.
Mm-hmm.
Safety, safety. Because, I mean, what they're doing is like, you know, autonomous driving. I mean, their goal, no one behind the wheel.
Right.
So I asked him, I was kind of like, I like to drive, you know, especially like a stick shift. Like I'm still from the three
pedals.
And
what did he say?
He's like, yeah, I like to drive too. But at the end of the day, like 95% of all car accidents are, you know, caused by people.
It's true, right?
And you said this before.
I've always said that. That's great. So good.
So I'm just like, you know, I get that, but I think it's kind of fun to like do a little heel toe through Schenley Park if you have to, and you know, really be able to, you know, double clutch if you have to, and all that kind of fun stuff. But apparently, I'm pretty bad at it, and I'll end up running into somebody, and we can have artificial intelligence and big data and all that kind of fun stuff kind of take care of that for us. But they're choosing Pittsburgh, obviously, we know, to do that. And I just was really, really pleased to learn more about how they're doing it. And to me, it's just the care that they're trying to take behind it. Like, they're not being slipshod about this at all. I mean, it's their concern. Like, you can't even joke about safety with him.
No.
I tried cracking
it. That's how it was when I worked at Alcoa.
It has
you
to
can't.
Be.
There's no joke. There are no safety jokes.
Just no messing around. As long as you'll see, give it a quick listen. And after that, we'll be going to break and coming back with more Tech Vibe Radio. Hey, this is Jonathan Kirsting with the Pittsburgh Technology Council and Tech Vibe Radio, and we're hanging out here at the Tech Council's Beyond Big Data Summit, our fifth year doing this, and every year it gets better and better because, I mean, Pittsburgh is getting better and better. The companies here, the talent that's here is just blowing my mind, and one of the things at the Tech Council we were really excited about is Aurora in the Pittsburgh market. I mean, making Pittsburgh one of its engineering centers, and really just seeing their cars out on the street, we always get super proud and we get to see it. And one of our panels today, it's a really great guy. I'm just really excited about, and he was here actually on a panel just talking about how we're trying to make our city smarter. And I really think Pittsburgh's like at the epicenter of this, and I'm sure you're going to agree with me on this one. But at the end of the day here, we have Gerardo, I'm going to slaughter your last name, Interiano. Okay, very good. I just want to make sure I got that from Aurora here. So first off, thanks for taking the time to talk to us, and really give us what's happening in Aurora and Pittsburgh right now.
No, thank you for having us. Really appreciate it. Really enjoyed the panel. And thank you to the Technology Council for the podcast and the opportunity to participate today. Aurora's mission is to deliver the benefits of self-driving technology safely, quickly, and broadly. Pittsburgh is a key component of us being able to do that, not only because we've been here since the very beginning, but this is really our headquarters. The way that we see ourselves as a company is that we are dual headquartered. We're here in Pittsburgh. We're also in California, and we now have an office in Bozeman. We have our cars on the road, and we are working with the community here, with the city, with the state, with the federal government to make sure that we deploy this technology, because our ultimate goal is to remove the driver, the human driver, from a self-driving, from a car.
Very much so. Now, the side of me that loves that, and the side of me that's like, wait a second, I like driving my cars. But when you look at the stats that are out there, as you were saying before in this panel, it's like 95% of accidents have some sort of like human element that made that happen. So it's like, yeah, if we're going to be safer, we kind of need to remove us being humans, I guess, for lack of a better term.
No, I mean, absolutely. And the other side of it is, a lot of us really love to drive. Like, I love to drive, but I have yet to find somebody who loves to sit in traffic.
Oh, I love sitting in traffic. Come on, I can contemplate.
There, you know what? I can think of a whole bunch of other ways that you can contemplate. But the amount of productivity that is lost today because we spend so much time in traffic, it's in the billions of hours a year that people are spending in traffic across the world. So if we can create a better experience for people to be able to move from one point to another and increase their productivity, then we're absolutely all for it.
At the end of the day, it really boils down to safety. That is just obviously your number one concern. Tell us more about that.
Safety is part of everything that we do. Like, yeah. We believe and we are committed, and we've publicly said that we will not put a self-driving car on the road until we believe that it is safer than a human driver. So it is our responsibility to work with city, to work with the state government, with federal government, to ensure that our technology is as safe as a human driver, if not better, so that we can deliver on that promise. And that means working with the public, working with different advocacy groups. It's, for example, it's learning how the car should interact with bicycles and partnering with Bike PGH.
That's one thing I love is whenever I see an Aurora car out there, I'm on my bicycle and I'll do a Pittsburgh left in front of it, I become a data point. I'm helping you guys solve a problem.
Well, hopefully you're not encouraging your listeners to test our vehicles on the roads, but it is about that learning, right? And for example, in California, we partnered with a motorcycle club to learn how it is that our cars interact with those motorcycles. We're walking and understanding how pedestrians move. But here in Pittsburgh, it is, you know, learning how to do the Pittsburgh left. And every community drives in a different way. So for us, it's exciting to be able to have our cars here and in California and to be able to work with the public to make that happen.
We love having your cars here, and we think it's so cool. So what is actually possible right now with Aurora technology in a car?
So our cars are already on the roads. We are testing them on there every single day. We have the technology deployed. Our vehicles are experiencing new things. And what we focus on is not the number of miles, because we want every mile that's used, we want to be able to learn as much as possible. So versus having our cars just drive around the city all day and pick up more data, for us, it's how do we take the vehicles and actually go learn something? So, for example, an unprotected left. Very similar to the Pittsburgh left. Years ago, that's the hardest maneuver, right? Or one of the hardest maneuvers to make on the road. Today, we can do an unprotected left with a self-driving car.
Perfected the Pittsburgh left here in Pittsburgh.
We're working on that. But the other one's like nudging, right? Like when you're driving down some of the streets in Lawrenceville and you're coming down some of those hills, they get pretty narrow. And how is it that the cars can nudge around somebody coming in and out of a car or a pedestrian that might be walking in between the cars? The cars have to learn how to make those interactions, and we're getting better and better every single day to learn how do we do those different things on your roads.
It just blows my mind, because like all of the variables that are out there that the human brain just processes, not even thinking about it, and to be able to take all this and build it into a system that's going to be better than a human, you know, and you're doing that here in Pittsburgh. It's just so cool at the end of the day. And I know that like you guys are hiring like crazy here, and you're hiring the smartest women and men you can possibly find. What's going on in Pittsburgh as far as hiring and the types of talent that you guys need here?
Yeah, we are continuing to hire. So to give you an idea, we were started here from the very beginning. We are now over 100 employees in just a little bit over 3 years. Mm-hmm. We have outgrown our office at least 3 different times. So we're continuing to grow. We're continuing to hire. And we're hiring across a whole bunch of different fields. Right, it's not just the engineering talent, even though we're very much love hiring the engineers that are coming out of CMU and out of the University of Pittsburgh, but it's also marketing and legal and people operations. All those teams have a presence here in Pittsburgh, and we're very much committed to continue to grow here in the community.
And what really piqued my interest when you were on the panel was talking about how the drivers you have here, those are actual like Aurora employees. They're not contractors, because like I said, your commitment to the safety and being part of the community is like, you know, you want people that have that ownership stake, that have that piece of Aurora in them. So they're really putting their all into it. Tell us about that a little bit.
Yeah, 100%. So most people here in the community here in Pittsburgh are going to interact with our cars, are going to see our drivers. And for us, it's really important that they have that ownership component, because they're the face of the company. They are the ones that are going to be interacting with the public. And we want them to have that sense that they are the ones representing Aurora in the community and to feel that sense of ownership. So for us, they are all full-time employees of the company. We have 2 safety drivers in every single one of our vehicles. Because we take safety as such a critical component of everything that we do. We have a whole bunch of processes in place, from making sure that they're trained to making sure that there's always 2 of those drivers, but again, making sure that they're employees as well.
Such good stuff. That's why we're pumped you're here in Pittsburgh and that Aurora was part of our Beyond Big Data Summit. Gerard, I can't thank you enough for being part of this.
No, really appreciate the opportunity.
Great stuff. This is Jonathan Kirsting with the Pittsburgh Technology Council and Tech Vibe Radio. Audrey, I never lie. We always come back.
We sure did.
Absolutely, absolutely. As promised, 3-2-1 Blink is coming up. Great guys. We do a podcast series with them, too.
We do a lot with them. Yeah. They're a great team.
They shot some great videos for us. We're getting ready to post.
They did.
Our About the Council one. We have you going through the building, introducing everybody.
They really get us. They get our work. They pull things out of us that we don't even think about.
Exactly. I've watched them grow for the
it's
past
really
like
wonderful.
7 or 8 years. And every year they're adding people and adding
it's
services.
Wonderful.
And so I love having them stop by, because they always have practical, good, solid knowledge for you out there building your business, whether it's tech or not. It all kind of, it's business, right? So they got some great strategies around that. So, Audrey, how about we give it a quick listen and then we'll go to break.
Let's do it.
Awesome stuff. Always fun hanging out with our friends from 3-2-1 Blink. We have Tim McLaughlin here and Mark Fallone. Guys, thanks for hanging out with us today in the Tech Vibe Huntington Bank podcast studio.
Wowza. Yeah,
thanks,
wow.
Thanks, Jonathan. Yeah. My first time here.
And as anyone who's listened to any of our podcast stuff, we do an ongoing podcast series called the 321 Blink Marketing Podcast, and we're still trying to figure out a name.
I know, right?
Maybe in 2020 is the year we actually brand the dang.
There's an assignment for us.
Yes, right. We should hire somebody to assign us.
It's been a lot of fun stretching our legs, just talking about all things kind of marketing and trends and lifestyle and pop culture stuff. But I like having you guys stop by the regular show so we can kind of talk about, because you guys have such good practical advice and knowledge, and you're such approachable people that I always just feel like, man, you guys are great to listen to. If you're a small business or a big business out there and you're thinking about video, anything marketing-wise, you guys always have some great insight. And you're growing like crazy. And I know, so tell us, Tim, real fast, 321 Blink and your growth trajectory lately.
Yeah. Because
you just brought this guy, Mark, on.
Right.
He's part
of
your growth trajectory.
Right. Well, that's like an anchor.
The growth trajectory.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like
so,
it.
2020 was, or 2019, thank you, was a pretty aggressive year for us. We had two acquisitions, and I would say a key partnership in Mark. So we had two agencies, one up in the State College area, Loaded Creative. We've been working with another Mark up there. So we have a good Mark and an evil Mark. We just haven't told them which one.
Wait, which one is this Mark?
Yeah. Well,
two Marks.
Yeah,
Marks.
Two Marks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have two Marks, and we've been working with him for quite some time, and it was nice, you know, he was looking to expand. We've done a lot of business up in that market, so it was just a natural
come together
natural fit. Yep.
Right.
And he kind of rounded us out from a creative perspective, some immersion. I never heard the word immersion before.
That sounds pretty cool, though.
It sounds very cool.
It makes
cool.
you sound important.
It does make
he
it
used
sound
that
important.
With me in my interview,
yes.
And then I used the word for 2 weeks,
yes.
every day
yes.
after that.
Yeah. So,
yeah,
so really,
word.
You can expand your vocabulary with 321 Blink,
word.
Right?
Yes, for sure. So, and then we had another agency locally here, Distinct Advertising. It was some folks that I had a relationship with before, had worked with, played in a lot of the same spaces we did in the automotive space, and then particularly they focus in the gaming space as well.
Very cool.
So
you guys are diversified.
Yeah,
that's
what
I'm talking about, and you're right. In the heart of downtown Aspinwall, on Brilliant Avenue.
Yeah, right.
And I know you're outgrowing your space, and I just, like I said, it's been a really cool growth story to watch you guys just add all these services. I mean, starting as a video company, and now you're just full service.
Oh, yeah.
Marketing.
You don't see that often where video turns into a full-fledged ad agency.
Exactly.
And then having the management team to balance out those two relationships and cultures, because they are they are different, and to be under one roof, you don't see that very often. That was one of the things that I loved early on when I first got to meet Tripp and Tim and Bob, is that they were managing these two beasts, if you will, and doing it beautifully, and there's harmony between the two of them. So,
Very cool, really man. Well, we're glad you're on board.
Thank you.
You need to stop by the podcast.
I'm a podcast junkie.
Okay, cool.
My phone is loaded with podcasts even before Family Photos.
Wow, that's
so
important to you.
Yeah, it is. It is. And it, I mean, gosh, it's swept up audiences.
Exactly.
Now. I mean, it is the
it's a good way to get your content and kind of be engaged and learn. And if anyone just goes to just look for Tech Vibe Radio on any of the podcast platforms, whether it's Spotify, Google Play, iTunes, you name it, you can find Tech Vibe Radio, and you can find the 321 Blink series that we have for Riding Our Wave with us, which I think is just a lot of fun.
Interesting. Just on that part, I was listening this morning to another a radio station, and they were talking about Joe Rogan's podcast.
Right.
And he made $30 million last year.
That just blows my mind.
And then, but
I wish I could make $30 right now.
The interesting thing was how they've really become, and what we talked about a little bit offline about being influencers and conversions. They were talking about a comedian was on Conan, and on the show broadcast Conan,
right.
You know, worldwide, wherever it is. And the comedian said, I saw an uptick, a little bit of his activity.
Okay.
He was on Joe Rogan's podcast.
Right.
He said while he was on the podcast, he gained 9,000 Twitter followers.
Oh, my
while
gosh.
He was on the podcast.
Wow. See, that shows the power of it.
Exactly.
Mark Maron is another one. You know, he's kind of considered the father of podcasting. Did some of the earliest podcasting out of his garage in Highland Park out in L.A. And he's one of these other influencer types that
I want to be an influencer one day. Yeah. That's never going to happen.
Well, yeah. You influence me, Jonathan.
Well, that's all that counts, right, though. Right. Exactly.
I reference you often.
Thank you. So yes. Let's talk a little bit about, so everyone talks about getting impressions. And this is people, they have a website built or they do podcasts and whatever it is to try to drive people, and they get excited about impressions. And before we went on air, I said, we got to talk about this because you have some great insight. And impressions are great, but they're not everything, right? I mean, at the end of the day, it's really about conversions.
Yeah.
And so I would think that the more impressions you get, naturally you should hopefully get more conversions, but that's not necessarily the case. Can we talk a little bit about this?
Yeah. So I've said this for the last couple of years that I've been doing this for 30 years, and I said the first 27 years I could write what I learned on the back of a business card. I mean, it really was not heavy lifting. I mean, it is what it is. The last 3 years, it's like a novel, and things change. What I've learned, what the people we've brought on have taught us.
Definitely.
It is true
how the curve is just ramped that fast. Like 25 years is kind of the same old, then all of a sudden in the past five, mm-hmm. it just went straight up.
And because now we're all having the same conversation, the same space, you know, people talk about how many impressions, what's my cost per thousand? And there's metrics and there's a science to media, and there's that, you know, if you have the right message and you're putting it in front of the right people, and a certain amount of thousands of impressions should convert. But you know, I always look at somebody and I'll say, you know, let's just use an automotive dealer, and they say, I need to sell 50 units. Mm-hmm. Well, what do they care if I get them in front of 51 people and 50 of those people buy? What do they care?
It's low impressions. You failed.
Yeah, right. It's like nobody's going to come back to me and say,
I'm not impressed with your impressions.
Exactly. You know, but if I say, I got you 4 million impressions, they say, yeah, I sold 19 cars.
Yeah.
They're like, they don't care.
Right.
And nor do I. And nor does, I always say, my mortgage company is not going to say, hey, guess what? All the impressions I have in my bank, they're like, yeah, Tim, we want money.
Exactly.
So the focus, and it's really challenged us as an agency.
I believe it.
Because a lot of times you fall back and you get frustrated when you see a campaign and you're like, God, this is such a good campaign. And you're looking at impressions and you just say, I don't know. And the answer can't be just more impressions, more eyeballs, more.
Right.
And also, you know, another word that's popping up now is authentication.
Definitely.
You know, and really making sure these are legitimate
impressions. Because there are bots out there where you can make them look like you got good numbers.
Right. And there's sometimes, I'll admit it, in the early days when we were doing this, you only know what you know, and you could be putting somebody in front of someone, and you could be getting these bot impressions, and you know, and you may not were aware of it. So your frustration was like, why is it not working? Well, you know, how do you authenticate?
Exactly.
You know, and I think the social media outlets are getting better. The Facebook.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, technology is just improving it and pinpointing it. So other technology, OTT. Over the top for television, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this is a big thing.
All the kids are doing it. All the
sets are there. People are too. And obviously, it's making video all the more important.
Yeah.
What are the latest trends around that?
Yeah. And production.
Yeah.
I was watching Working Moms on Netflix last night, and thinking about over the top and the streaming venues like Netflix, Hulu, and others. The work that's coming out of that, the opportunities for production companies, actors, writers, it's just blowing everything up, breaking every model under the sun. And you've got to adapt to that, the over-the-top movement.
Yeah,
and be lost.
Right, absolutely.
So it's a new opportunity moving forward now. It's obviously something to be reckoned with and something that's got to be thrown into your arsenal now as you're
moving forward. And it's funny. Again, I'll go back to this is how new it is. We have a handful of clients that do it, do some OTT, mm-hmm. and a big part of it is submitting it for co-op reimbursement. Well, the people we're submitting it to don't even know what to ask us for affidavits.
Really?
So it's that new.
It is that new that we're
creating things along the way. Like here's the proof that I have that it ran. And they're like, well, we need to see this. And it's like, you can't see that from an OTT perspective.
Exactly.
And so they're asking questions. So it's been kind of...
So it's all new territory.
Totally
new. And you guys are on top of it.
And right down to the production level, as a director, director of photography, if you're working with someone even in a pilot stage to produce something they want to pitch upstream to Netflix or whatever,
right.
you can't shoot in 4K, traditional 4K. You've got to be acquiring above 4K,
above 4K
because of the standards of these new networks.
Right.
They want 5K,
wow.
6K. For manipulation of the image once they get into post.
Right.
So there's all new ground rules on the production side as well.
And there's a production side and then for us from the advertising
yeah.
side. So it's
exactly.
it's right. It's just like I said, it's fun, it's interesting, but you're also you're learning as you go along and it's changing
so quick.
Changing so fast.
Moving target.
Yeah,
moving
yeah,
target.
Sure. Yeah,
and you guys have been on because you guys have been following this the whole way through
exactly. your trajectory. You have to. You have to be a student of it because you're gonna get asked about it at some point.
Absolutely. Mark, I'm so excited they brought you on because it's just one more sign of how 321's growing. If you go to 321blink.com, you can see all their services. Great fun website to check you guys out.
Yeah,
you guys keep
stuff.
The energy up, which I always love. And seriously, go on over to iTunes, Google Play, look up Tech Vibe Radio and 321blink, the marketing podcast over there, and maybe we'll have a name in 2020.
Yeah, right.
We'll work on it.
That's on Mr.
We'll
Fallone.
We'll do it in 5K or 6K.
Do it in 5K or 6K. Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. So Mark Fallone and Tim McLaughlin, 321blink. Thanks for hanging out with us.
All right, thanks.
Hey, we're taking a quick break. We'll come right back with more Tech Vibe Radio. You're dialed right into Tech Vibe Radio this Wednesday night. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
Audrey, we have no stranger to not just Tech Vibe Radio, but the Pittsburgh Technology Council in general.
No, it's great to have Jason Wolf in the house.
Yeah, it's awesome to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, good to have you back in the studio. It's been a while.
That's been a while, yeah. I think maybe a couple years.
Really?
I think the last time we had you on, we were kind of talking about you just took over being the chairman of the board of the PTC,
which we
thought was pretty cool. And
that's awesome.
It's been we love having somebody with your business building and technology perspective.
I love to be here.
At the helm.
Look at this facility we're in right here.
Our Huntington podcast studio.
Come on.
Studio, absolutely. We
this
love
is
it.
Awesome.
No, it's good stuff.
So,
it's a great
so
place for
great
conversation.
Things going on in PTC.
Yeah.
I'm just happy to be a part
it's
of it.
It's great. So we're going to jump in. So you've got this relatively new company, but not that new, that you've built. So give us a little bit about what that is.
So we sold a company called giftcards.com back in 2016. We had about 100, 120 employees, and we're in Greentree. And the gift card product, being in that space for as long as we were, I knew it was kind of broken. I mean, there's issues with gift cards, as you may know or think
Absolutely.
About as I bring these things
mm-hmm.
up.
Right.
You know, there's loss. I mean, you lose your gift card, right?
I always find it between the cushions of my couch.
Yeah.
But it's lost for a while, and I panic.
You got your wallets about 3 inches thick with all these plastics that you don't use, right?
Absolutely.
One of the things most of the listeners probably don't realize is that there's about 3,200 tons of gift cards, well, single-use gift cards that just go in landfills.
3,200 tons.
I know, I can't even visualize that.
That's a lot of plastic.
Yeah. So there's a lot of plastic that's out there that's not, you know, that's being wasted and destroying our environment.
And not totally used, right?
Not totally used. I mean, that's, look, we made money when people didn't use their card. And so that's another problem.
How many cards have like $5 left on them that aren't accounted for? And then that money goes somewhere at some point, right?
It goes to companies like giftcards.com.
Exactly.
Like giftcards.com. Not necessarily. The Visa, I mean, I may say that in jest, but we offered a great product at giftcards.com. And it's a great company. And Blackhawk is a great company. But I also saw that there was a flaw in the product itself.
Right.
And so I realized that there was nobody doing anything about it. And so in 2016, when we sold the company, we kept about 25 people, and we started to engineer what's called Giftcha today.
Exactly.
And Giftcha is sort of like Venmo of gifting. And a lot of people say, well, why don't you just send a Venmo, right? It's easier just to Venmo somebody money.
Because Venmo's not as cool as Giftcha.
No, it's not as personal.
It's not as personalized.
It's not personalized, exactly.
Right.
So with Giftcha, when you know, Jonathan, I get you a Giftcha for Starbucks, all I need is your cell phone number, and I can text you a Giftcha. It takes literally 10 seconds.
Okay.
It's personalized.
Right.
I can put a video on there, whatever. And then when you get the Giftcha, you basically just click on it and enter in your Visa or MasterCard number.
From your debit card to the bank?
Yeah, from your debit card.
And then now that's in your account?
Now that's tied to Starbucks. And when you go to Starbucks, because you forgot that I got it for you.
Always forget.
You swipe your card, and then you get a text message. Hey, Jason got you. And you're like, hey, I forgot about that.
See, that's cool.
Yeah.
And it's all from your debit card or your credit card that you assign it to.
We're working on credit now.
Okay.
And to be, you know, transparent here, I mean, Giftcha is still kind of in a beta stage.
Right, exactly.
We launched it about a year ago, and unlike all the other companies I've built, The other companies were running down the road, were driving down the road, slapping on the doors, putting the tires on, putting the windshield wipers on. We're just trying to go. This time we kind of tried to plan it first.
Wow.
It's revolutionary.
It's kind of weird.
So revolutionary.
We're trying to get out of the box here. So, we basically took some of the engineers we had in prior companies. So we used the same folks that we've worked with for years, and we architected it, and we put some of these metrics in place so we can see what's it cost to acquire a customer, how much is a customer worth to us.
Mm-hmm.
All of these metrics that become very valuable as you build a company, we're trying to put up front. So we know, okay, it cost me $10 to acquire a customer, and it's going to be each customer we've brought on this past year is going to generate X dollars for us. And, you know, the usage of the product is a little more difficult. Here, let's fix that now. And so we're going through that. We're at the very end of it. We need to bring on Visa credit. When we were talking about Visa cards, we have Visa debit, we have MasterCard credit and debit. So we need to get Visa credit. That's one of our items on our
checklist. On your plan. On your plan, right?
Yeah.
So right now, if people want to get a gift card, can they?
They can. We are integrated with Visa, MasterCard, like I said. We have about 10,000 locations that are tied into Visa, MasterCard through our partnership. And when I say Visa, MasterCard, I mean it took me 1,058 days to get a partnership with Visa.
That's not bad.
I'm talking like
58 days.
Yeah.
That's like 3 years.
367 emails, 55 phone calls, and 5 trips to San Francisco.
Wow.
Not that I was counting.
No, not at all.
But it was difficult. When I say a partnership, it means that they have gotten behind our business model, and they have allowed us to have access to their APIs, which is not easy to do.
I was going
to
say, that's
a big deal.
Very big deal. Prior to that, we were integrated with Plaid, which is the same company that is behind Venmo, the same technology that's behind Venmo. The difference is if Audrey gets a gift from me and she's connecting her Visa card, we know directly when that Visa card was used at that merchant location within milliseconds.
So it's traceable now.
It's quicker, and it's direct. It's right there. With Plaid, we essentially have to have you log into Giftia with your bank account, your username and passcode. Then we have to scrape.
I don't want to do that.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. You have to scrape your account, waiting to see the transaction.
Ooh.
And then 4 hours later, we'll send you a notice that you got the Giftia. So the user experience is not the best. But we wanted to launch with something so we can start gaining metrics.
Right. Getting some traction. So today, can people go to Giftia and participate?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. We have, again, like I said, we have probably over 1 million merchants on there through the relationship with Plaid. Through the relationship with Visa, MasterCard, we've got about 10,000 locations, maybe about 1,000.
But you're adding every day.
Yeah, we're adding every day.
It's impressive.
We're actually doing a launch. We should do something about this because we're going to do a Pittsburgh official launch here probably in March with a PR firm, with most likely a burger company here that has agreed to work with us. And we're going to have media, and we're going to have an event, and it's going to be our official launch of Pittsburgh.
Oh, wow. Well, you got to tell
that's
us
exciting.
About
that.
You said there's burgers.
Yeah, so burgers.
Come on, let's go.
We're going to give a milkshake away, I think.
And so can Jonathan and I bring our mobile
field
unit?
Absolutely. I would love to have that. I don't want to impose, but
no,
I think
great. I like the way Audrey thinks on this one here. This is kind of
get
exciting.
Out. Yeah. I like that.
I want like an official launch.
Well, I think the thing that really resonates for me is the fact that it is not Venmo. And it is actually something personal. Mm-hmm. And so that I can
definitely
say, Jonathan, here's 2 tickets to the Rolling Stones. I bought them for you. And here's how you redeem them.
I'm pretty excited to go to the Stones.
By the way, we're going to the Rolling Stones.
Exactly. Just,
if anyone's, you guys?
If anyone's listening, we're doing a GoFundMe.
We are, exactly.
For the Rolling Stones tickets.
We can't afford the $1,000 for a ticket. And we sure love the Stones. So.
Well, one of the other cool things, Audrey, is that if you bought him the tickets for the Rolling Stones, with Giftia, you could log in and see when he used them.
You can know
when
that
you get a gift card, you can't tell if somebody used
them. No,
it.
You right. never know.
Or any
know,
gift for
right.
that matter. With exactly. Giftia, you log in, and I can see exactly when he uses it, how much is he using, and I could ping him, and I can actually have an interaction with the person I bought a gift for.
Well,
that's cool.
I actually wish you could do this with savings bonds.
Yeah.
Because I had a phenomena with savings bonds.
Let me think about it.
Yeah. I found a box from my daughter's bat mitzvah.
Oh, my.
With 3 savings bonds.
And what'd you do?
Can we buy Stones tickets with them?
I can't convert them right now.
Can you buy Stones tickets with them?
Exactly.
They were actually like a receipt. And then I had to create sort of convert them into a bond.
Really?
And I never converted them. They were stuck inside of envelopes.
Oh, do you call the bank on that, or what do you do?
I have to call. No, I mean,
good
luck. The U.S.
Where they
right.
throw a lot of money.
They're probably sitting in a Sheetman in somewhere, somewhere in some federal.
Right, but the point is the money was paid.
Yeah.
Someone bought her the gift.
And then
they have no idea that it's not being used.
Exactly.
Like Molly went to college because of these. It's like,
well, I was calculating the compounded interest, and I thought these are worth something.
Yeah, like a couple stones tickets.
Well, get, do you get interest on those? Bonds.
Well, they mature
over a period of time.
Over a period of time.
Right.
Right. So then they mature at X over.
Did you tell Molly?
Not yet. I looked at them and said, these are all stuck inside.
Got a couple extra bucks here.
But I mean, the point is there's applicability in terms of other kind of instruments that actually evaporate.
I'm sensing a company called Bondia coming out pretty soon that will be taking care of this.
Well, Audrey, this is a great point because with gift cards, they historically will be just reversed back to the company or to whoever the program manager is.
Okay.
And there's a big revenue generator for that, for people not claiming that.
How many people only use part of it?
Like, so I think it depends on what kind of product you're looking at. Like a brand card or a Visa card, they call that breakage is a little bit different. With a Visa card, I'd say probably a 7 or 8%.
Okay.
With the brand cards higher, you know, probably 12, 13%.
I like not having a card. I love that idea.
Yeah, and there's no breakage. Like, there is no such thing as an unused card with a gift. You're going to use your Visa card. You are going to spend it.
Exactly. And the idea, then, that person knows that you've used it, and you get a message after you use it to remind you. So it's like the gift that gives a little more after you've given it.
Well, we're hopeful. We'll see what happens.
Absolutely.
So essentially, if I give Jonathan a gift card for something like a coffee shop, he goes into the coffee shop, and he pays for it. Automatically, they say, wait, you have a gift card. You have a gift card on here?
What do you mean, gift card or gift?
Yeah, for gift.
So,
As you
swipe your card, your Visa card, you'll then get a text message from us because we're going to be seeing that transaction at Starbucks.
And you're going to say, wait a second,
I went to Burgatory the other day. Somebody got me a gift, and I gave my credit card to the waitress. She went to swipe it. I was sitting at my table. I got a text message before she came back with the bill that I got to give.
That's cool, man.
So cool.
That's cool.
So, but that's only when we're connected with Visa, MasterCard. And we're working through this. It's going to take some time. We're excited about Pittsburgh. We're going to Cincinnati next and then Chicago. Cincinnati, we have about 100 merchants signed up already. And we're just going to keep going across the country.
Love it.
Sort of like the Grubhub model.
Jason, you are the best, man.
That's right. We got to keep on working. You know?
We need 100 more of you here in Pittsburgh doing what you're doing because you're making
a little
companies.
Insane.
Yeah.
But I mean,
that's the way we love it. Yeah, I'm glad you have a plan for this company, though.
Thank you, Jonathan. It's great to be here.
Likewise, Jason. Hey, Jason Wolf from Gifted.com.
Yes.
Check it out. And
Audrey, thought that counts.
The thought that counts, I know.
It's the thought that counts. I love it. It's everyone's tagline.
That's right. Thank you, Audrey.
Thank you. Thanks, Jason.
Yeah. Audrey, another tech vibe under our belt. Just to remind everybody, if you're ever jonesing for more tech vibe, you don't have to tune in on Wednesday night. Just go to your favorite podcast channel and you can download to your heart's content. The last time I checked, I think we have close to 2,000 interviews hanging out there. So many great stories like Jason's. Just remind you, go to iTunes, go to Spotify, go to Google Play, wherever you get your podcast, keep downloading Tech Vibe. It makes us feel good. Anyhow, we're taking off right now, and we'll see you next Wednesday. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
And we are from the Pittsburgh Technology Council. Learn more about us at pghtech.org.